E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Inner sound of the weekend, be that sound within my head alone be heard, happened to hear two people conversing away, saying, "You'll never believe where I found myself to be in a dream last night. Try me. I found myself to be in Jerusalem." Jerusalem? Ideally, that is not a great place to be finding yourself to be in these days. I know that. But it wasn't the Jerusalem of today, but of long, long ago. How so long, long ago? The second temple was still standing, because I could see it over the ways from me. Were you there on your own? No, there were lots of people around, and they seemed to have come from many different regions near and far. There were Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Galilee, Samaria, Judea, and Idumea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and near Asia, Persia, and Pamphylia, and there were those from the farthest reaches of Europe and Africa, and in from the Arabian desert, those who had come all the way from India, China, Korea, and Japan. And this may sound a bit strange, and even in the dream it appeared strange to me to be, that seemingly I was the only one there from the Celtic Isles. Why were you there? At first I had no idea. Then I discovered we were there because of some expected event. Some extraordinary event was about to take place there. What time of the day was it, or was it night time? It seemed and felt to be as if it was mid-morning, the sun was shining, and there were some white clouds here and there about. Then we all began to hear some very soft sound, as if it were descending from the high sky. And as we looked up and saw it, saw this, what I can only describe as a huge craft of some sorts, parting the clouds and slowly descending towards us. Weren't you all frightened? Strangely, somehow no. Then what happened? The craft stopped descending and was just there above us, above the entire city. Then there was an absolute silence. I could hear myself breathing, even it felt as if I could hear my heart beating. And without as much as a moment's notice, it vanished. We started turning to each other and asking what had just happened. And the amazing thing was that we all found ourselves to be very comfortably speaking to each other in a new language, a language which did not sound to be of this world. It was so beautiful, so expressive, so musical and refined. I found myself conversing in it freely with Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Galilee, Samaria, Judea, Idumea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Near Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Europe and Africa, the Arabian desert, and even India, China, Korea, and Japan. That must have been something. It truly was. And I felt therein that there was nobody I couldn't comfortably converse with in this new language. Even I thought to myself, if visitors were to come from the moon or the stars, I would be able to have a conversation with them. And I had the strong desire to keep on speaking it, but it left from me, or seemingly it left from me, when with the fluttering open of my eyes. Would that I could have such a fantastic dream. Who knows, you will. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, in a ford pasture land on the eastern bank of the great river of the west, he said he came upon a crowd of people who, out of curiosity and fear, were watching a fierce bullfight. One of the bulls, they said, belonged to a local Christian lord, while the other a Druidic lord, who had driven him across the ford from the western bank to offer him some better grazing in an eastern pasture land. And according to them, the fight had started because the owner of the Christian bull begrudged having to share the pasture land with the Druid's bull. Then the Druidic lord, claiming that it was a sacred custom and right, set his bull upon the Christian bull. And the Christian bull accepted the challenge without as much as a shaking of his horns. They were going at it so fiercely that they were flinging chunks of grassy soil, excrement, urine, saliva, roots and stones in all directions. In truth, it wasn't safe to be standing there. By the time he said he had arrived on the scene, the backs of the bulls alone were visible above the ground. The more they fought, the deeper did they hollow out a hole, until after some time they had managed to lower themselves some 7 to 9 yards into the ground. Then suddenly, there was an almighty sound of heads crashing into each other, and the two of them lay there below, knocked out and facing each other. Then, and without warning, and with seeing this, didn't the Christian lord and the Druidic lord start off punching and fighting each other? He said he had had enough, and just walked off to let them have at it. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. A reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. Whose grave's this, sire?
Mine, sir.
Oh, a pit of clay for to be made for such a guest as me. I think it be thine indeed, for thou liest in it.
You lie out in it, sir, and therefore it is not yours. For my part, I do not lie in it yet, and yet it is mine.
Thus thou dost lie in it, and be in it, and say it is thine. 'Tis for the dead, not for the quick, therefore thou liest.
'Tis a quick lie, sir, 'twill away again from me to you.
What man dost thou dig it for?
For no man, sir.
What woman, then?
For none neither.
Who is to be buried in it?
One that was a woman, sir, but rest her soul, she's dead.
How absolute the knave is! We must speak by the card, or evocation will undo us.
By the Lord, Horatio, these 3 years I have taken a note of it. The age has grown so picked that the toe of the peasant comes so near to the heel of the courtier, he gaffs his gibby.
How long hast thou been a gravemaker?
Of all the days in the year, I came to it that day that our last King Hamlet overcame Fortinbras.
How long is that since?
Cannot you tell that?
Every fool can tell that.
It was the very day that young Hamlet was born. He that is mad and sent to England.
Ay, marry, why was he sent into England?
Why, because he was mad.
He shall recover his wits there, for if he do not, it's no great matter there.
Why?
'Twill not be seen in him there. There the men are as mad as he.
How came he mad?
Very strangely, they say.
How strangely?
Fate even with losing his wits.
Upon what ground?
Why, here in Denmark. I have been sexton here, man and boy, 30 years.
How long will a man lying there dare he rot?
In fate, if he be not rotten before he die, as we have many pokey corpses nowadays, that will scarce hold the laying in. He will last you some 8 year or 9 year. A tanner will last you 9 year.
Why, he more than another. Why, sir, his hide is so tanned with his trade that he will keep out water a great while, and your water is a sore decayer of your wholesome dead body.
Tao Te Ching, Installment 6. The person who knows the way of nourishing his or her spirit shall attain immortality. The person who has attained immortality uses his nose and mouth well. The outlet of the nose and mouth can breathe the elements, which are the roots of the heaven and the earth. In gentleness and perpetuity he shall proceed to breathe. By diligence and attention he shall practice the exercise.
This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?"
There is a story that tells of a village in ancient old, which with learning of a crisis that would determine the moral integrity of its people, especially of its youth, decided to call all the inhabitants of the village, and even of its environs together, to come of an afternoon to the village shrine, a grotto dedicated to Mother Nature, to pray for the crisis to be averted. Now, on the said afternoon, 10 people out of a population of some 500 or so appeared at the village shrine to pray. Why the numbers weren't greater, nobody knew. Even to this day, nobody knows. 7 of those who had answered the call were over 70 years of age, 4 women and 2 men, while the remaining 2 women and 2 men were in their early to mid-60s. And they did earnestly and sincerely pray beneath a lovely clear blue sky for the moral integrity of their village and its environs. Especially for their youth did they pray. Mother Nature, seeing the great love in the hearts of this handful, willingly saved the moral integrity of all. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will graze at your ease by refreshing streams. In pleasant shades, take you some rest. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on referendum day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramaScripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.